Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema full year 2022 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. As usual, I'm here with Carlo and Ilaria. Clearly, let me start by saying that since the last conference call, we have now start to see the signal coming from the new monetary policy that the ECB has put in place. Starting from the commercial performance, we are pleased to say that the factoring turnover was up 22% on a year-on-year basis, which is clearly better than the market as a whole, but is also the record year in terms of total turnover that exceeded 4.4 billion. The CQ outstanding has remained stable at 933 million, in line with our plan to maintain this level, and most is, if not all, is coming from the direct origination. The pawn loan reached 107 million in terms of outstanding, with an increase of 19% on a year-on-year basis, which represent a constant growth in terms of turnover as well as contribution margin of this business. Looking at the P&L, the net interest income is equal to 85.4 million, which is up 4% on a year-on-year basis. Clearly, we are sure we can leverage on a higher net contribution from factoring pawn loan for the next month and quarter, considering also that the factoring business will register a positive increase due to the higher level of late payment interest threshold starting from the 1st of January 2023 has now moved up from 8% to 10.5% of rate as a consequence of the higher ECB rate. On the other hand, the CQ net contribution cannot be positive, in particular for due to the old portfolio of the stock, which is a fixed rate. This portfolio will expire over time and will continue to be replaced by new volume originated at higher yield. The funding cost is stable on a year-on-year basis at 0.4%, even though in the last part of the year, clearly there was an increase of the cost of funding that will continue on the following year. The total income is equal to 105.9 million, which is minus 2%, so pretty much stable, and the result is influenced by lower income from the sales of the CQ portfolio and lower trading margin from government bond, which is something that even during the last conference call I already anticipated that we were not being in a position to sell the CQ portfolio at this new level of interest rate, as well as the mark-to-market of the government bond portfolio did not allow any gain that we have done always in the past. The lower cost of risk remain at 29 basis points. The total operating cost is equal to 64.2 million, which is pretty much stable, as the cost income is also stable. The net income is equal to 22 million, corresponding to a ROTE of 13.3%. The wholesale funding is up on a quarter-on-quarter basis and represents 45% of the total fund. The group, the banks, was able to maintain a strong liquidity portion with the liquidity cover ratio, LCR, at 271%, which is up on a year-on-year basis. The net stable funding ratio and the leverage ratio are equal to 133% and 5% respectively. The total asset equal to 4.4 billion, which is up on a year-on-year as well as on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The Core Tier 1 ratio is at 12.6%, and the total capital ratio is at 15.9%. That is the transitional reference, which is up on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Moving to the next slide with a few more details, as you can see, the factoring stock is lower, even though the turnover was much higher, but that is due to the strong collection of tax receivable. So this year in particular, this segment has registered on one end a very strong growth in terms of turnover, and part of the old portfolio of tax receivable, as well as part of the recently acquired tax receivable, has been reimbursed by the tax authority. Moving to the slide number 4, as you can see, the CQ turnover, excluding the portfolio that we acquired from Banco BPM, was substantially driven by direct origination, as we are continuing to work on the strengthening of agent and intermediary network. So our brand, Quinto Puoi, that we are using on the branch, which is part of our strategy, continue to grow, and our presence is becoming more and more visible. The pawn loan business is growing on a quarter-on-quarter basis. In October 2022, we have opened a branch in Athens, and we are also purchasing Artright, an auction house, in line with our business plan. Consider that the auction house has a lot of things in common with our pawn loan business, and we expect important growth also on that part. As you probably have seen today, we also have announced that we have started with the process of the IPO of Kruso Capital, so all our pawnbroking and auction house business, which has been approved yesterday by the board of the company and today by Banca Sistema approved as well. We believe that there will be an important space for growth in the market, not only in Italy, but also abroad, and we expect to use the proceeds coming from the IPO, where only a minority of the company will be placed into the market, to continue with acquisition of activity, in particular outside of the country. Now, let me leave the floor to Ilaria to comment more in details the result.
Thank you, Gianluca, and good afternoon to everybody. We now move on to the slide 5, where we make some comments on the balance sheet. As you can see from the table, total assets are up 19% versus year-end 2021, mainly due to the increase in the Govis portfolio. Indeed, the Govis portfolio is now slightly less than 1.3 billion and is up quarter on quarter with an average duration of 18.4 months, lower than last quarter, mainly thanks to the reduced duration of the held to collect portfolio, where the additional 400 million bonds are all floaters. The residual duration, average duration of the held to collect portfolio is now 1 year. The held to collect and sell portfolio is stable quarter on quarter with a lower negative mark to market. We will provide more details on the level of the reserve later on when we cover regulatory capital. As regards to core business, we have that loans at amortized cost stands at 2.85 billion and is slightly down quarter on quarter. In particular, factoring assets have slightly decreased year on year, influenced by a sharp decrease quarter on quarter due to a sustained collection of tax receivables, as Gianluca mentioned just before. On the other side, SME loans outstanding, which is run by the same factoring division, increased year on year and also quarter on quarter. CQ assets are stable versus year end, and pawn loans are up 19%, confirming a sustained organic growth. On the liability side, we have the due to banks quarter-on-quarter decrease is driven by a reduction in both short-term ECB funding and interbanking. We currently hold 540 million TLTRO, this figure is unchanged, and further to the announcement by ECB of changes to the rules of the program, we have not changed our initial plan to keep it outstanding for the whole 2023. due to customers' quarter-on-quarter increase is driven by the increase in repos related to the quarterly growth of the govies portfolio and the increase in current accounts. Also, in December, we have drawn a 66 million credit line from Cassa Depositi e Prestiti, using a portion of our portfolio of state-guaranteed loans as collateral. The credit line has an average maturity above 3 years. Debt securities quarter-on-quarter decrease is driven by lower funding through ABS. We now move on to the next page to discuss P&L. We start from interest income, which is up 4% year-on-year and is also up quarter-on-quarter, with a higher contribution versus last year from pawn loans for 1.9 million is the difference year-on-year, and from SME state-guaranteed loans and tax credits for Superbonus for an additional contribution of 4.3 million vis-à-vis last year. Factoring accounts for 56.6 million of total interest income and represents a relative share of 56%, in line with the 9 months, but lower year-on-year. Lower overall year-on-year contribution by factoring is mainly due to weaker factoring LPI from legal action, which is now equal to 15.2% and is down from the 15.2 million, and is down from the 21.5 million in 2021. The breakdown is the following. The accrual is now worth 9.1 million, while extra collection is worth 6.1 million. There was a sale of LPI in Q4 worth 400K. The 400K is a net contribution to P&L related to the sale. Lower contribution from legal LPI was partially compensated by extrajudicial collection of LPI, which has registered revenues for 9.4 million, up from the already strong level of 2021. A good diversification effect was also provided by tax receivables, which have registered a good performance both in terms of origination of new credits, as Gianluca mentioned, as well as P&L contribution. To be mentioned, again, is the accelerated pace of collection in the last quarter, as already highlighted. As a result of the different performance among the various factoring segments, full-year factoring income margin stands now at 4.6%. This is up in the second half of 2022 compared to the first half, but is slightly down year-on-year. Over the quarters, we've managed to adjust margins on commercial receivables in line with the new interest rate environment, but not enough to completely offset the impact of the weak performance of LPI with respect to the past year, which mainly explains the year-on-year reduction in factoring margins. To a lesser extent, a higher weight on credits portfolio of tax receivables, which typically carry a lower margin compared to commercial receivables, has also contributed to a margin reduction. However, for 2023, we expect to be able to further charge higher discounts when we buy receivables, such that the overall factoring margins should increase. In addition to that, the LPI rate has increased, as Gianluca mentioned, on the back of the increase in ECB rate. So since the 1st of January, LPI rate is now 10.5%. So also thanks to this adjustment, the contribution of LPI to income generation should get back to levels more in line with past results. In the secure space, the income contribution is slightly down versus last year, and the interest margin stands at 2.2%, mainly impacted by what should be the final tail of the prepayment dynamics, and also by pricing reduction occurred in the first part of the year. Also, 2021 margins had been positively influenced by a sale of assets that had generated a significant capital gain, which was impossible to achieve this year to the same extent given the different interest rate environment. Moving on to the pawn loans, its contribution continues to be in line with expectations on a growing trajectory. The interest income contribution for the year has been 7.8 million, up from the 6 million in 2021. The margins, including commission income for 8.3 million, are now 16.4%, which is up year on year and also quarter on quarter, thanks to the continuous repricing of the contracts carried out quarter by quarter. We expect further margins increase over the next quarters in line with the increase in market interest rates. So overall, total adjusted income margins have been positively impacted by higher interest income contribution from other assets, namely SME state guaranteed loans, credit from Superbonus, and government bonds. Specifically, interest income generated by SME loans is 7.1 million compared to 4.4 million in 2021. Income from Superbonus was 1.8 million compared to almost zero, basically zero in 2021, and the government bonds contribution was 5.3 million. So as a result, total adjusted income margin is lower year on year, but stable quarter on quarter. We expect it to increase considering what we've just said about the ability to reprice the yields on most asset classes. Now we turn to slide 7 to comment total income. 2022 total income is slightly down year on year due to the lower other income. Net interest income 4% year on year increase is driven by the increase in interest income just described, while interest expenses were flat. Net commissions are slightly up year on year thanks to the higher pawn loan commissions and lower than expected CQ negative commissions in the third quarter due to the revised accounting treatment of fees paid to agents, which we had commented in the last call. On the other side, other income is significantly down year on year. This includes 2.2 million gain from the sale of a factoring portfolio and 1.5 million gain from the sale of a CQ portfolio. The sale of the CQ assets had contributed for 3.7 million in 2021, as the sale was executed for a bigger size than in 2022. We had already anticipated in previous calls that it would have been very, very unlikely to sell any assets in the second part of the year, given the higher interest rate environment, and so it was. Also, the contribution of the Gavis portfolio to other income was down with respect to 2021, although the portfolio has contributed more to the NII than last year, as commented already. In the pie chart below, we show the usual breakdown of the total income contribution of the three core businesses. The weight of the factoring business relative to the others is slightly lower compared to a year ago, accounting now for 67% of total income with respect to 68%. Also, the CQ has seen its relative share decrease. The difference has been covered by the pawn loans, whose weight in total income has increased from 11% to 14%. Now let's discuss cost on page 8. Total operating costs are slightly up year on year, mainly due to net provision for risk. In particular, personal expenses are stable year on year if adjusted by extraordinary items worth 2.4 million. These items include, among others, 1 million higher than expected release of the bonus pool relative to 2021 fiscal year. All other expenses are 3.5 million up year on year, of which 2.8 million is related to net provision for risk. Let's now look at funding on next slide. The wholesale retail mix has remained unchanged with respect to the last quarter, with a 45-55 split. In the wholesale component, there has been an increase in repos, as already commented, related to the Govies increase and the drawdown of the new credit line from the CDP that have more than compensated a slight decrease in DBS funding and the reduction in interbanking funding. In the retail space, we have registered a minor decrease in term deposits and an increase in current accounts. Our average cost of funding is flat year on year at 0.4%, but constantly up quarter by quarter. In the first part of the year, our cost of funding reached its trough with 0.10% in June, and since then it has taken an increasing path with a sharp rise in Q4. Our well-diversified funding base allowed us to absorb the increase in market rates with a limited impact on our interest expenses in 2022, which, as we said, remained flat vis-à-vis the previous year. More in detail, the retail funding cost set at 0.6% at year-end, down from 0.7% the previous year, despite the fact that we had to increase retail interest rates in the second part of the year. In particular, we increased the rates offered on term deposits in October and December, both in Italy and abroad, and also the rates on current accounts. On the wholesale side, the increase in costs has been material, from the lowest level of -0.6% in June to the highest of 0.10% in December. As we said, the net effect of this dynamics for 2022 was a flat cost of funding, but in terms of outlook for 2023, we expect the cost of funding to increase as many of our funding instruments will reprice. We now turn to slide 10 to discuss asset quality. Nothing too relevant to report in terms of asset quality. As you can observe in the graph, gross NP is down quarter on quarter and also year on year, driven by the decrease in past due. We highlight that the figure for bad loans includes the exposure to cities in conservatorship, which is the 134 million figure shown in the bottom left table. Net bad loans without cities in conservatorship amount to 4.3 million. Cost of credit risk in 2022 stands at 29 basis points, down from the 40 basis points in 2021, which, as you remember, was impacted by the non-recurrent provisions on a position vis-à-vis a city in conservatorship. The 29 basis points is indeed more in line with our usual cost of risk. I now hand the floor back to Gianluca.
Thank you. Let me briefly comment on the capital. So the fully loaded Core Tier 1 and total capital ratio as at the end of the year, which include 24.7 million of held to collect and sale reserve from government bond portfolio, is lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, credit RWA decrease is driven by factoring business, mainly by lower exposure to corporate and lower past due. The capital position is well above the regulatory requirement, and when after the trilog process of Basel III that is taking place at the level of the European Parliament will approve the ECOFIN proposal to sterilize the held to collect and sale reserve, our capital position will be even better than that. Thank you, and now I leave the floor to the question.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call Conference operator. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Manuela Meroni with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the cost of funding. Could you please share with us what you are expecting in terms of cost of funding for 2023? And you mentioned that the cost of deposits is repricing quicker compared with the asset. So when do you expect this effect to reverse? And so when do you expect the NII to increase on quarterly basis? The second question is on the TLTRO. If I understood correctly, you are not going to reimburse the TLTRO. I'm wondering if you want to pre-fund the TLTRO during 2023, although you are not going to reimburse it. The third question is related to your loan portfolio. Loans declined by 5% quarter on quarter, mainly on factoring business. Maybe you mentioned something during the call, but I didn't get it. So if you can please repeat why loans declined on quarterly basis and what you are expecting going forward. The fourth question is on the Lexitor ruling. The Italian Constitutional Court took a decision in December. I'm wondering if you expect some impact on your consumer credit business. And finally, I'm wondering if you feel comfortable in giving us guidance on the full year 2023 in terms of revenues and net profit. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I will leave some of the questions to Ilaria, but let me start to take some of that. In terms of the common repricing of the cost of funding quicker than the asset. This is mainly driven to the CQ, because the CQ has a duration that is longer for a year and is not repricing the asset because it's a fixed rate, and while the other products are repricing very fast, as you can see also on the number, the average yield, contribution margin, adjusted contribution margin in slide number 6, looking at the factoring, September where we were at 4.3%, and at the end of year that move up already to 4.6% and keep moving up. On the other side, on the pawn loan, you have an increase 15.3, then move to 16.4, while the CQ is the contribution is going down, and that is the reason why the portfolio has a fixed rate, so and has a longer duration, so you need to reprice more. But then I leave maybe to Ilaria to comment to that. In terms of the third question about the fact that the outstanding has been reduced, as Ilaria mentioned before, the main reason is, and I also said at the beginning, is because a lot of the VAT receivable that has been purchased in the past, as well as purchased during the year, has been paid by year end, so that there was a faster collection of these receivable. But the other reason is because we decide in order to have a proper return on regulatory capital to reduce and by selling a lot of factoring that we did in favor of private client that have a 100% RWA. And so we have purchased, but at the same time we have also sold more than in the past, and we will continue to do so. Bear in mind that most of the factoring with private client that we do is guaranteed by the insurance, and we have a plafond of reselling plafond with the other factoring and banks that buy on a regular basis. So for these two dynamic, we reduce the outstanding despite the fact that the turnover increased. Clearly, when we sell, we receive a payment earlier than expected, the yield goes up, and at the same time, when we sell the receivable to other factoring company, we simply upfront the yield by selling that, and we improve also the capital consumption. The fourth question is about Lexitor. We have taken a 1.3 million provision after the Constitutional Court decision. Let me add at the same time that yesterday the European Court of Justice on a case that has been put forward by UniCredit Group for mortgages has resolved that the upfront fees should not be returned back. I simplify, so the sentence is longer and complicated, but in a nutshell, the same European Court of Justice has said that for mortgages, the upfront fee should not be given back to the client. And as is the same European rule that apply to any type of loan, because this is the rule in protection to individuals, is now clear that we have one sentence Lexitor by the European Court of Justice that goes in one direction. And then now we have the same European Court of Justice that for the same type of commission has taken exactly the opposite direction. That means that this will open back a case that will have to be put forward again at the European Court in order to understand what is has to be done, is one or the other. The Constitutional Court, let me add, in their decision, while on one end they said that is unconstitutional the decision by the government that has been taken by the government, at the same time they said that in that the way in which the regulator has implemented and interpreted the European directive was incorrect. And so there is a responsibility, which eventually translates in also economic obligation of returning the money to any financial intermediary that have suffered or lost. There is a responsibility by the authority that did come up with this implementation and interpretation of the European directive. I will leave then to Ilaria to better comment on the cost of funding 2023, the TLTRO, and if you would like to add something to the other point.
Thank you, Gianluca. Regarding the cost of funding, you cover most of the question. Just in terms of numbers, we, as we said, our cost of funding has been on an increasing path starting from June this year. So the average cost increased quarter by quarter, and we believe so. Really, this year cost of funding is not a good predictor of what our cost of funding would be in 2023. If we close 2022 at 0.4% cost of average cost of funding, we believe 2023 cost of funding will be north of 2%. But it will then stabilize during the course of 2023 around these levels. In terms of then margins, to summarize what I had already anticipated during the comments to the slides, and adding to what Gianluca has said in terms of the capability to reprice the various assets purchased. To summarize all of that, we can say that definitely the gross interest margin for factoring and point loans will increase in 2023. But following on from what Gianluca said, the CQ net margins would be a sort of a drag, so that the consolidated net margin margins outlook for 2023 should be of a stable, if slightly increase in net margins vis-a-vis current levels. In terms of the TLTRO, we are planning to reimburse the TLTRO by the end of 2023, namely in the last quarter of 2023. We will replace the TLTRO funding using existing source of funding. When we reimburse the TLTRO, we'll have some collaterals that will become available that can be utilized as a collateral for diversified funding, in line to what we are already doing. I think that was pretty much all.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My question, the first question is on the payback. The government is preparing a move on this issue for healthcare factoring. I was wondering if you assume any impact, potential negative impact from this new rule, if approved, maybe it's in April, or not. And as for 2023, in terms of cost of risk, if you can give us an outlook, what kind of level do you think it will be adequate for next year? Thank you.
Payback, I don't think that we will have any specific impact on that, because the payback is always something, in particular on the large pharmaceutical company, that was always been the case. I think that you're referring, if I'm not mistaken, the fact that the some of the supplier had to return some of the money back to the government.
Correct.
Clearly, but that has nothing to do with us, because when we purchase the receivables and we have already paid the receivables, is not an issue. In case the amount of the receivable will be reduced, in this case, we go back to the original seller, because the original seller always guarantee the existence of the credit. So in case there will be credit note driven to this payback, clearly that is something that we can go back. But I think that they are not used the instrument of credit note, but they simply are going to charge an amount based on the overall payment. This imply that the local, the authority, healthcare administration will charge the supplier, but not relating to any specific invoice. And if it's not related to any specific invoice, this cannot be offset against invoice that we have purchased, because we have purchased invoice, we notify the purchase of the invoice, so they can net the invoice if there is anything specific to the specific invoice. So for instance, if you have an invoice for 100 pills of whatever prescription, and then you will reduce the amount, in this case this can be offset against the specific invoice. But if these, as usually are the payback, is a full loaded amount based on turnover and not relating to specific invoice, it cannot be opposed to the purchaser. And in case it will, that simply mean that we have to return back to the original seller and ask for compensation. Most of the amount are, again, pharmaceutical industry. So I to be honest, I don't have any fear that if I turn back to Roche or Novartis or MSD, they will not be able to return the money back.
Yeah, and it probably is if you're exposed to small companies, pharmaceutical companies, but I think that this is not your case.
No, we are not exposed to small pharmaceutical company, but usually when we purchase from a smaller supplier, we don't finance 100% of the invoice amount. So we always have a buffer that we call a second installment. So we are debtor in favor of this supplier, which means that part, if not full, of this eventual amount can be easily offset by the second installment that is due to client from Banca Sistema. Because when we buy from Novartis, clearly, or from this large pharmaceutical company or large institution, we always finance 100% of the amount, net, of course, of the discount, which is our return. But when we purchase from a smaller player, we price the invoice, but we don't pay the full amount. We pay in the region of 80, 85, 90%, depending on a case-by-case basis. And we give back the difference when the collection will take place, so within a certain date. So that means that we have some debit that we can offset in case of a credit coming. But I doubt that this will be done on invoice-by-invoice basis, as I said. This, as they did the payback for the pharmaceutical industry in the last years, this is something that has been linked to turnover. And so this is an amount that is linked to the overall turnover and not to any specific invoice. So the only one that has to pay for this amount are the seller, are the client, and not the one that has purchased the invoice. But as far as we see, well, let's see when these rules will be approved and how they will look like. But for the time being, I don't see any specific risk. I leave to Ilaria to comment the cost of risk 2023, our
Yes,
expectation.
We do not really foresee any deterioration in our asset quality for 2023. Therefore, you can assume the cost of risk will remain stable at current levels around 29 to 30 basis points.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much to everybody. Have a nice weekend. Take care.